Thank you very much. Several years ago, when Baruch Sturman was in the yeshiva, and he came to me, he wanted to give me a presentation about what he has about the Tchelis. I said, rather than give me a private presentation, let me announce it for all the boys in the kollel and give it to the whole group. So he gave a presentation, and then after he was finished, I said, I want to buy a few sets. He said, he doesn't have it yet. They're planning to make it. So then, okay, so I said, I want to buy a few pairs. So then, when they started to manufacture that, to make it public, so he sent me one set as a gift, and I said, I can't use it because I need more. I'll explain. Okay, so there are those who are not so convinced that this is really the Tchelis. So they avoid putting on the Tchelis. So, but it's a mitzvah in the Torah to put Tchelis into the Beged. So even if you're not so convinced, it's not even a Sofek. So some say, no, it's not even a Sofek. I don't know how they can be so vada, it's not even a Sofek. I think that's a little extreme. Not even a Sofek. There are those who think, yeah, it's a Sofek. And Sofek, the Reis of the Chumrah only applies, they quote this in the name of different Gedolim from the past generation, Sofek, the Reis of the Chumrah only applies if you're Mesupik, whether you were Yotzei Esrig or not, you're Mesupik, whether your Esrig was Kosher, maybe it's a Murkov. So if you shake another time with a, for sure, a kosher esrog, so then you'll know that you'll be yotze the mitzvah. Sofek deraisa l'chumah requires you should do the mitzvah again and make sure that you yotze. But even if you use the tchelis, you won't know for sure whether this is the tchelis if you think that this is only a sofek. So in such a situation, we shouldn't apply the rule of sofek deraisa l'chumah. Even after putting in a tchelis, you still won't be positive that it's tchelis. So Rav Menachem Zembe, who was one of the Goinim in Poland, killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto, Menachem Zembe had a son who died at a young age, and he published a sefer of his correspondence. The son was learning out of town. He wasn't learning in the same city where the father was, so he used to correspond. And he published the chiluf after the son died. So he published the chiluf in Mechtov, and the sefer is called Gur Aryeh Yehuda. So he quotes such an opinion. He's not talking about Trevis. He quotes such an opinion and shows that the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is against that idea. We Paskin like the Ran and Sukkah, that Sofek Deraisa L'chumah even applies in a situation where after doing it, you still won't know for sure whether you're fulfilling any mitzvah. So the Pashto says that even if one is not convinced, it's at least a Sofek, and it is a mitzvah L'chumah, it should at least be a Sofek Deraisa L'chumah. What if a person decides that he doesn't want to wear Trevis? So he's mevatel the mitzvah. You're not mevatel the whole mitzvah. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, Rebbe and Chachamim, where the tchelis is ma'akev anat. So the Baal Hamor, Perek Mamim Adlikin, Rabbi Nizrach Alevi paskens like the opinion of Rebbe that tchelis ma'akev is hasalovan, and during his lifetime tchelis was not available. So the Ramban writes in the Muhammad there, we heard that the Baal Hamor never wore tzitzis because he followed the opinion of Rebbe. We don't pass like that. We pass like the majority opinion, like the Chachamim of Rebbe, that Tchelis is not Ma'akevus HaSalav, but it's one mitzvah, so you're only in fulfillment of the mitzvah b'di'evid. You're not Mikayim the mitzvah b'shlei Musa. Mitzvah b'shlei Musa is Tchelis with Lovan. And if a person doesn't put in Tchelis, the Beis HaLevi has a famous tshuva where he quotes a Rashba and Rosh Hashanah. Rashba and Rosh Hashanah raises the question, what is the nature of the prohibition of Baltigra? Torah says you're not allowed to add on to the mitzvah, you're not allowed to detract. What do you mean Baltigra? So the Mishnah gives an example of Baltigra. A person has a korban chatos. He's supposed to do the zvikas on four corners in the mizbech and b'di'evit. We pass him like this. So if he did one zvika, he eats a b'di'evit. So what if he'll only do one zvika when he had an opportunity to do all the four zvikas? He has enough time to do all four. He chose not to. So the Mishnah gives that as an example of Baltigra. Mishnah is rachim. The Gemara in Erev and Dafkuf. There's a whole discussion about that Mishnah and Zvachim. So the Rashba in Maseches Vashana raises a question, what about tefillin? You wear tefillin, you'll only have three parashas in the tefillin. Or something like that. You have a mezuzah, you don't know you're supposed to have Shema v'hayam Shema, you only have Shema, you only have v'hayam Shema. So is that a violation of Baltigra? So the Rashba said, that's not Baltigra. You're just not yet in the midst of tefillin, you're not yet in the midst of mezuzah. The parashas ha'mak v'zuzah, so you're not yet. The only time you have Baltigra, the Rashba restricts it, is when you have a mitzvah that to fulfill a mitzvah, Vishle Musa, you're supposed to do it X, Y, Z. You only did part of it, and did you have a yotze, like the Korban Chatos, l'chatchila, the mitzvah, Vishle Musa, is to do four zrikas on the four corners on the mizbech. You're only going to do one zrika, so you yotze, did you have a yotze, the mitzvah, Shoah, Vishle Musa, that's a violation of Baltigra. So the Beis HaLevi writes an example of Bal Tigra that we do. Beis HaLevi didn't hold from the Tchelus of the Radzina Rebbe. He held that it was a mistake. So he says, how do any of us wear tzitzis? It would have been better not to wear tzitzis at all, because we only have love and we don't put in any tchelus. And true, the tchelus is not miyakevus as a love, but we're all in violation of Bal Tigra. We're only doing the mitzvah shelo bishlemusa. So he says, all of us are walking around with Eser Dechalo says. Whoever thought that Eser Dechalo says, it's a Gemara, whoever thought that it applies Lamaisa by us. The Beis HaLevi says, all of us who wear tzitzis when tchelus is not available are invoking the din of Eser Dechalo says. We have no brera. We want to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. So we put on a four-corner garment. If you don't put on a four-corner garment, you're not mechuyev to wear tzitzis. But if you put on a four-corner garment, you're mechuyev to wear tzitzis. Then you don't have the ability to put in any tchelus because it's simply not available. So then we're allowed to wear the lovan without the tchelus, because the essay of wearing the lovan is decha the lois essay of Bal Tigra. Because when it's a yepshel l'kaim shneim, you have no brer. But if you have tchelus available, you choose not to put it in. So shem besa not to put on the talus in the first place. If you don't put on a talus, a beged with four corners, you're not mechuyev in tzitzis. If you wear beged with four corners, you become mechuyev in tzitzis. So if you don't have the ability, if tchelus is not available, so eser dechalos eser. But if tchelus is available, efshel l'kaim shneim, you can fulfill the mitzvot tzitzis and fulfill everything without violating Bal Tigra. So do so. So the pashtus is, once tchelus is available, it would be better not to wear an arba kafis, not to wear a beged of tzitzis at all, rather than to wear the beged and to choose not to put on the tchelus. There's a very strange letter from Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan. When the Radzina Rebbe came out with his Chiddush, Radzina Rebbe lived in Poland, and he traveled specially to, I'm sure you must have discussed it previously, he traveled specially to Italy to visit the aquarium there to try to figure out. He felt we have to prepare for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. We have to do something in preparation. If we'll take the first step, then the Ribbono Shel Olam will follow. So one of the first steps is you have to have tchelus of Bigdei Kuhuna. And there's a machlokes Tanoim, Rebbe and Chacham, where the tchelus is makim and the tzitzis, but in the big dikuna, all the Tanoim agree. If you don't put in tchelus in those big dikuna, they require tchelus, so it's not kosher, and the Kohanim can't do the avodah. So Radzina Rebbe said, we have to prepare in advance for the avodas HaKarbonis and the Beis HaMikdash. So he specially traveled to Italy to visit the aquarium to try to figure out which is the chalos. So he determined what he thought the chalos was, and many accepted and many didn't accept. So Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan accepted his suggestion of what the tchelus is, what the chalazon is, what the tchelus is, but he writes him in a letter, I personally can't wear tzitzis with tchelus, because he was in the middle of fighting against the maskilim. He says, if I'm going to wear tchelus, everybody will laugh at me, and I'll be upgefrecht, and I won't be successful in my battle against the maskilim. What the Ribbono Shel Olam tells me, you have to fight the maskil. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells me, you have to keep the mitzvah. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells me, you have to wear tzitzis with tchelus. If it will, I'll be a fret, so will I'll be a fret. I don't understand. It's a peladika letter that Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan writes. The Radzina Rebbe printed three volumes. Now they printed all together, Shlosha Sifra Tchelus all together. So he has all the reactions of the different Rabbonim of his generation to his discovery of the tchelus. That's what Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan writes. I think it's a pelah. You're not allowed to decide not to wear tchelus because you won't be successful in your fights against the maskil. We have to do mechuyev tzitan, nishtoyev tzitan. If people will laugh, so they'll laugh. So, but you're mechuyev to do the tzitzit, and mechuyev to do the mitzvah. So the Pashto says that even if one is not convinced that this is tchelus, midei sofik layotze, it's at least a sofik, and as such, we should say sofik deraisa lechumra, and the Pashto says that it would be better, now that tchelus may possibly be available, it would be better already not to wear a four-corner garment, rather than to put yourself into the situation wearing a four-corner garment. You could even sit, this tchelus is available. You're not fulfilling the mitzvah. So don't wear a four-corner garment. You won't be mechuyev in the first place. The big question was, how many chute tchelus do you have to have? So that's the Rambam's opinion, is that's half of one long string. The Rabbi's opinion is one of the long strings. And Shitas Rashi V'Tosfos on the Gemara and Menachos says that you have to have two and two. So the question is, which of the opinions should one fulfill? So a lot of people don't want to wear tchelus. They don't want a loz nacharayin and a machlekes. Whatever you're going to do, you're going to be wrong. If you do like Rashi, you'd be wrong according to the Rabbi. If you do like the Rabbi, you'd be wrong according to the Rambam. So that's what some give the Moshe L'mad Avadayma. The fellow in Europe, he didn't want to wear tefillin. He doesn't want a loz nacharayin and a machlekes. Rashi and Rabbi Natan, which is incorrect from tefillin. So he doesn't want to wear tefillin at all. So the Gemara says, when you have a machlekes, bishamer bisil, So now we say the Bas Kol came out, Halacha Kedivrei Beis Hillel, and we follow Beis Hillel there. The majority, but before the Bas Kol came out, and before they realized that din is like Beis Hillel, because Achram Lahata, so the Gemara says, Idi do like Beis Shammai, you do like Beis Hillel. Also Kedivrei Beis Shammai, also Kedivrei Beis Hillel, also you join the Shevet group. You have to wear either trailers like A, B, or C. You have to do one or the other. Yeah, you can't say it's a machlekes. I don't want to lose a charan in a machlekes. Yeah, the pashta says whichever way you're going to do, you're going to not be in complete fulfillment of the mitzvah according to the other rishon. Okay, so you won't be but the eved. You will be yotzei. What if you make all the chutim trailers? So loven is not me'akev. We pass me like the chacham and trailers is not me'akev. So it's a loven. And Lovan is not Me'akib the Trelis either. Neither is Me'akib the other one. So B'dyebid you'll be Yotzei whatever you'll do. If you do like the Rambam, you do like the Rabbi, you do like Rashi and Tais, B'dyebid you will be Yotzei. The question is, which one should one do L'chatchil? So there are different suggestions. I attended one of my youngest, not my youngest, I have 9 children. So one of my daughters got married, so the boys, uncles and aunts sponsored a Shevet Bracha, so I spoke to one of the Shevet Brachas. So one of the uncles introduced me. So he said he always knew the Rabbi Shechter was a prominent rabbi, but he looked on the Trelis website. Wow, he didn't realize I have Rabbi Natra Goyen, Rabbi Natra Noy Goyen, and the Rabbi Hai Goyen, and the Ramam, and the Rabbi and Rabbi Shechter. So he never realized how prominent Rabbi Shechter was. So that's how he introduced me. Kibitzer, yeah. So I personally thought that you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the only opinion that they quote in the Shulchan Aruch is Rashi and Tosfos, they're supposed to have half and half. They're supposed to have 2 chutei loven and 2 chutei trelis. In the Shulchan Aruch, they only quote it, the Mechaber only quotes it lahachmir, like the Rabbeinu Tam. The Gemara has a din of gardumei tzitzis. The Gemara has a din of melachatchile, when you tie the tzitzis onto the beged, the strings had the correct length, had the right length. And then later on, the strings get torn. And you don't have the correct length. So the Gemara says, by tefillin, if you tefillin, the tefillin meru boys, they were square, and then later on, this kalkal haribua. So the Gemara says, it's not kosher. But by tzitzis, if lachatchila, when you tied it onto the beggar, it had the correct length, and later on, the strings got ripped a little bit, so by the yebed, it'll be good, since lachatchila, it was kosher when you tied it on. So the Rabbi Natam learns pshat in the Gemara, and the Mechaber quotes this halacha lamaisa. So this is only if you have trelis and lobon, and one of them is bishlei musa. Let's say the trelis strings, the 2 trelis strings, the 2 long ones, and now 4 short ones there have the right length. And the lobon ripped a little bit. Or the lobon is bishlei musa, and the trelis ripped a little bit. So as long as you have one of the 2 parts that it sits, the equal parts, the trelis and lobon, one of them is bishlei musa, the other one is miskalkal a little bit. So then you say gadume is good, provided that it has kedei an evil. The Gemara has, even the one that ripped has to have a certain minimum length. But what if 3 of the long strings got ripped and you don't even have the 2 trelis or the 2 lovan that are bishlei musa? So Rabbi Natam says that's not acceptable. So then what about Bizman Hazer? In the days of Rabbi Natam, days of the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have trelis available. So they said the 4 strings that you put in, 2 are keneged lovan and 2 are keneged trelis. So if 2 of the long strings got ripped and they don't no longer have the proper length, but you have 2 that are bishlei musam, so then you're okay. But if 3 of the long strings got torn, so then you don't even have 2 that are bishlei musam, 2 are keneged lovan, 2 are keneged trelis, then it won't be kosher. So the Mechaber quotes this Shitas Rabbi Natam, so maybe only quoted it lahachmer, that even though the Gemara has a kula that gadum it sits this is kosher, if at the time you tied it onto the garment it had the right length, and later it tore, so it's only kosher if 2 of the long strings remain bishlei musa. That's why the Mechaber recommends in the Shulchan Aruch when you're tying the chutei tzitzis, you should keep the 4 strings on one side, 4 strings on the other side. Those are tied tzitzis. So you keep your pinky over there, you separate these 4 you keep on one side all the time. You don't keep on mixing them together. So you'll know later on, if 3 ripped on one side, say, no, for sure, you don't have 2 long ones. But if, okay, it'll help you make the calculations later, how many strings rip, whether you have 2 bishlei musa or not. So one could argue the point and say that the Mechaber only quoted this Rabbi Natam lahachmer, but maybe he wouldn't really pass it out right like the Rabbi Natam. So you look in the Mishnah Brura, in more than one place, but one place the Mishnah Brura quotes when the Malbim has a Sefer in Aruch Chaim at the beginning. Malbim was one of the Gedolei Hador, he was one of the major poskim in his generation. He went down in history as the man who knew Tanakh, but he knew Psak. He was one of the major poskim. So the Malbim is quoted all the time by the Mishnah Berurah from the Sefer Artzis Achaim. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes in his name, let's say the garment is made from cotton. So the Gemara says, strictly speaking, cotton strings are also good. Let's say the garment is made from silk, so you can use silken strings also, as long as they're made lishma. And if the garment, let's say, is made from cotton, and the garment is made from silk, and you put on strings of tzemer, that's also good. So what if you're going to have some of the strings will be wool, and some of the strings will be cotton, and some of the strings will be wool, some of the strings will be silk, if the garment is silk. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Artzis Achaim, he thinks that it's good, provided only that it's two and two. There are two different units. One unit is the tchelus, one unit is the lavan. So you're going to have three wool, and one string is going to be silk. Or three silk, and one is going to be wool. He thinks that that's not acceptable. He thinks that we pass from the halacha, that it's two and two. That's the only opinion that was quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. True, they quote from the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon says he's not sure who's right, the Rambam or the Ravid, whether it's one short string or one long string, but for sure the Sifrei and the Sifra, they say not like Rashi and Tosfos, it's not going to be half and half. But that depends on Girsos and the Sifrei and the Sifra. They're different Girsos. So we're not sure which is the correct Girsos. So the Pashtus and the Shulchan Aruch, the only opinion that they quoted was the Rashi and Tosfos on the Gemara, that two of the long strings are tchelus, two of the long strings should be long. So that's what I did. How many chulias do you make? How many chulias? We call a chulia when you have a unit and you have a double knot and you wrap around and you have a double knot. That's a chulia. How many chulias are you supposed to make? And how many times do you wind around within each chulia? So the Gemara says that tchelus is supposed to be domal or akia to remind us of the kisi hakobed. We should have Yerushalayim. And the Gemara in Chagiga explains, based on Pesukim and Tanakh, that there are Shiva Rikim, there are seven heavens. Like when a person is very excited, he says he's in seventh heaven. That's where the Shekhinah goes up to the seventh heaven. And Matzah Yom Kippur, we say Hashem Hu Alekim seven times. So Tosi says, there's only one God. How do you say Hashem Hu Alekim seven times? The Mishnah says, Ha'ema Shema Shema Mishaskin also. It sounds as if he believes in more than one God. So Tosi says, no, our Kavanah is that on Yom Kippur, there's a Hashras Hashekhinah with us the whole Yom Kippur. And I'm going to tell you, Yom Kippur, the Shekhinah goes back up to heaven, goes back to the seventh heaven. So we say, Hashem Hu Elokim, to baglate the Shekhinah to the first heaven. Hashem Elokim the second time, to the second heaven, third heaven, till the seventh heaven. So the Shekhinah is in the seventh heaven. So we want to remember, if the Tchelis is Dama L'Rakia, there are Shiva Rikim. In order to have Shiva Rikim, you have to have six Avirim in between. If you don't have any Avirim Matzik, so it's all one big fat, thick Rakia. In order to have seven rikim, you have to have six avirim. So the Gemara said that six and seven is 13. So the Gemara has that you should have between the number of seven and the number of 13. Seven rikim, and the seven plus six avirim adds up to 13. So the Gemara never says between seven and 13 watts. So Tosfos has two pshatim, and this is a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. So one pshat is you should have between seven and 13 krichas around. So the minute for so many centuries buds that we made four chulias, and we made 7, 8, 11, 13. Why these magical numbers? So the Mefarshim explained that 7 and 8 is 15, and that's Yud Kei, and then Vav Kei is 11, and then Echad, Aleph Ches Dalet is 13. So Yud Kei, Vav Kei, Echad, Hashem Echad. So that's the minute you make 7, 8, 11, 13 corresponds to Yud Kei, Vav Kei, Echad Hashem Echad. But where they get, how they start off in the first place with these numbers, 7 and 13. So that's based on this pshat and Tosfos, that how many krichas do you have in each chulia? Rashi and Chumash writes that there are four chulias. Where did Rashi get it from? We don't know. Sources in Midrash. But there are four chulias and you have knots in between each chulia. Now how many krichas do you have in each chulia? So a minimum of 7 and maximum of 13. Because Keneged the 7 Rikim, and the 13 is Keneged the 7 Rikim with the 6 Avir. Now Tosfos says another pshat, no, what kind of 7 Krichas and a Chulia? The Gemara says on the previous Daf and Menachas, in Perek HaTcheles, he put 3 Krichas in a Chulia. Only 3 Krichas. You don't need a minimum of 7, maximum of 13 Krichas and a Chulia. The Gemara is discussing here how many Chulias should you make. So that's what the Gemara says, a minimum of 7 Chulias. So they have to have 8 double knots. Our minig is for so many centuries. Ashkenazim make double knots. In other countries, they didn't make knots. They did other things. Other Balates didn't make double knots. But our minig always was. We have 5 chulias, and you have, we have 4 chulias, 7, 8, 11, 13, and we have five double knots at the beginning, the first month Kesher Aliyah. Then you have the end of the first Chulia, end of the second Chulia, the end of the third Chulia, and so on. So this other pshat in Tosis is you have to have a minimum of seven Chulias, and each Chulia should have three Krichas. A minimum of three Krichas makes a Chulia. If one wants to fulfill the both opinions, Machlek is 2 days in Tosis, Machlek is the Rambam and the Raibis. So if you bought in Shulchan Aruch, they don't have any Pesach on this. So if you want to satisfy this whole idea of having a minimum of 7, a maximum of 13, this only makes sense, the Tosfos and the Rambam say, only makes sense when you have Tchelos available. If you don't have Tchelos available, it's not Tchelos or Rekia. So the whole issue of Yeshiva Rekim is irrelevant. But nonetheless, that was the minute for so many centuries. They made 7, 8, 11, 13, minimum of 7, maximum of 13. But now if you really think that you may really have the Tchelos, so you should be Choshish perhaps for the other opinion also. Not just you should make 7 Krichas and a Chulia, you should make 7 chulias. So the Pashto says one should have very long, you got to have very long strings because our strings are very, very thick. You have to have very long strings. How come our strings are so thick? So the Rabbi Natam has a Gemara. Rabbi Natam wrote the Sefer HaYosha. His comments on the Gemara. And he writes in the Hakdama, what motivated them to write the Sefer HaYosha? Rabbi Natam wrote a Hakdama to the Sefer. Some modern thing. To write an introduction to explain what motivates you to write a Sefer. So he writes what motivated him. His pshat in the Gemara in Erevin, the last paragraph in Erevin, about the chutei hatzitzes, they have to be shizurim. That was Rabbi Natan's interpretation of the Gemara. So the chutei hatzitzes have to be twined. If you have a single string, it's not acceptable. So the chaverim of the Rabbi Natan encouraged him, he should write a sefer Yosha, he should write a sefer to publicize the shita with the strings of tzitzes requiring shizurim. Then Tesis has a discussion, shizurim how much? You just have two strings that are twined together, so we're machmer for kafel shmeina, because there are different opinions in the Tosfos. So the biggest chum is kafel shmeina. Kafel shmeina tzitzis, everybody, most people buy kafel shmeina tzitzis. They're very fat strings. They're very fat strings. If you're going to make 7 chulias, and each chulia is going to have 7 krichas, you're going to have 49 times wrapped around, you're going to have 7 chulias with 8 double knots, that uses up an awful lot of strings. So you have to call up the organization. Have to make the specially very long strings. They should have something loose on the bottom. The Gemara says al-Hatkhila, more correct is they should have one third, the top third of the tzitzis hanging down should be the krichas around, and two thirds should be loose. If you're going to make 7 chulias with 7 krichas in each chulia, unless they make extra long, very extra long string, it's not going to be one third and two thirds. But that's not miyakeh b'diavad. That's al-Hatkhila. It should be like that. So that's what I personally do. I make 7 chulias with 7 krichas in each chulia to satisfy the both opinions that maybe is supposed to be this. The Gemara says the minimum of 7 means minimum of 7 krichas in a chulia, and the minimum of 7 chulias in each chulia having 3 krichas. So if you have 7 by 7, you're certainly in fulfillment of that din.
What about the Yud Beis Gomer? 7 should be Yud Beis
Gomer. Yeah, it's way more than Yud Beis Gomer.
It's coming up much more.
Yeah. Yeah, if we would have... Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having longer tzitzis. Yeah, yeah. It's not going to be one-third and two-thirds unless you ask them to make extremely long chutim. But it's going to be way more than your base kudla that we will have, yeah. The shayla is, how do you do the krichas? So the Gemara talks about you start off with the lavan, and then you do the tchelis, then you end off with the lavan. What exactly is that? Where do you start off with lavan? Where do you end off with lavan? What does that mean? So the Rambam's opinion is, Rambam makes life easier. The Rambam's opinion is, you only have one of the 8 strings is tchelos. It's not a whole string. So the Rambam holds that, not like the Rabbi Tam, the Netziv in his commentary on the Shiltas points out. So Rechid said this over in the name of the Netziv when we learned Hilchos Tzitzis in Yeshiva. 1 year after Rav Soloveitchik had his surgery, so the doctor told him he should take it easy. He always used to give 2 shiurim. He used to come in from Boston, he used to give a shiur on Tuesday morning for 2 hours for the smicha students. He gave another shiur for 2 hours for the undergraduates, for the college students. Then Tuesday night he gave a shiur for the Baal Batim and Maria. Then Wednesday morning he gave a shiur 2 hours, another shiur 2 hours, and he went home. So the doctor told him that he has to take it easy. He should only give 1 shiur and he should pick an easy topic. So the next year after the surgery, so that year that he had the surgery, so he was learning Psochem and Yerideya. So after his surgery, he only continued Yerideya because he had the students how to get smicha, but he didn't continue the Shirim Psochem. So someone else continued. And then the next year, he followed the doctor's instructions, then he picked something easy, so he gave Shirim Orachayim. So that year he learned Orachayim, Hilchus Tfilin, Hilchus Tzitzis, Kriyas HaTorah, and Mishnah Yischala. And he finished in the middle of July, and he made a Siyam on Mishnah Yischala for Prakim. Is it the first time in his lifetime that he ever made a Siyam on anything? For Prakim and Mishnah Yischala. Had his wife bake cakes, and he bought the sodas. We were surprised, and he made a party. Made a Siyam, and he held a drosha by his head. The first time in his life he ever made a Siyam on anything. On for Prakim and Mishnah Yischala. That was the year that he was taking it easy. Yeah, so that he was always outsmarting the doctor. So the doctor told him he should only give one shear, but he felt bad. He used to give 2 hours, 2 hours, 2 hours, and 2 hours. So he outsmarted the doctors. He gave shear Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and each shear was 3 hours long. So he added up, it was 9 hours. It used to be 8 hours, but the doctor said only one shear. So it was only one shear, but he gave the shear three times a week, and each shear was way more than 2 hours. So he was always outsmarting the doctors. Yeah, that was part of it. So when we learned Hilchos Tzitzis, Rav Soloveitchik said over this comment from the Netziv. There seems to be in his commentary on the Shiltas, he has this. Seems to be a fundamental machlokes between the Rambam and the Baal HaTes. What's the role of the Tchelas? So the Rambam holds that the role of the Tchelas is just to make the Krichas, just to wrap around. The Rambam's opinion is that the first Kricha and the last Kricha, let's say I do 49 Krichas. 7 times. I do 49 krichas. So the very first kricha and the very last kricha, the Rambam says, should be white, and everything in between should be tchelas. So the ikar kricha, ikar of the tchelas is really to do the krichas. That's the Rambam's opinion. So all you need is one string, well, one out of the 8 strings to do all the krichas. And the Shitas HaTaisus says, that's what the Nitzit points out, the Shitas Baal HaTaisus says that no, there are two parts to the tzitzis. Half is tchelas and half is lavan. Should be two and two. You have to wrap around with both. You have to do krichas malavan, krichas mitchelas. Not that the ikar din of the tchelas is for the purpose of making the krichas. When the Gemara says you start with lavan and you end with tchelas, so the Rambam says the very first krichas is lavan, then you do. Then you do all the others tchelas, and then the very last kricha is going to be lavan. The Raiva disagrees with the Rambam, and he says, no. The first kricha is lavan means you do three krichas of lavan, not once around. Three, because the Gemara says less than three is not called a chulya. So the first chulya should be lavan. So you wrap around three times lavan. Then he says, but the Raiva understood pshat in Gemara that you need seven krichas and one chulya. Seven krichas and one chulya. He says the first three krichas and the first chulya are lavan. The next three krichas should be tchelas, and the next one should be lavan. You end off, not the end off, the very last one. The first and the last is one krichah of lavan. The rabbi says the last krichah and the first chulya should be lavan. A different shita, but you have to do krichas of tchelas and krichas of lavan. And Taisus has a different shita. You alternate 1-1, 1-1, 1-1, or you alternate 3-3, 3-3. Different opinions how to do the krichas. So that the Gemara says for sure that's not Niyaka B'Di'evit. How you do the krichas, that's not Niyaka B'Di'evit. That's just the Shaila L'Chatchila. The whole tchelis and the lavan is not Niyaka B'Di'evit. B'Di'evit, if you only had tchelis without lavan, and lavan without tchelis, B'Di'evit, you would be yotzei, but the mitzvah would be shalom b'shalom musa. Here the Gemara seems to imply that you don't even have to do it over. If you did the krichas not according to the Seder L'Chatchila, so you leave it like that. It would appear from the Gemara, you don't even have to tie it over again. So for quite a few years, my practice would be, I would take the Rambam as the easiest road, take the first kriach is going to be love, and the last kriach is going to be love, and everything else in between is tchelis. To do otherwise makes it very complicated to switch from one string to the other in the middle of a kriach is very complicated. Then one of my chavrusas in the NCSY learning program in the summertime, the high school boy was learning with me, so he kept on hacking me. He did a lot of work in tchelis. He enjoyed learning this paragat tchelis. We learned together paragat tchelis. But before he came to the NCSY learning program, he was learning in California. So he was learning there. So he convinced me that I should try to be choshish with the Shitas HaTaisus as well. So what I do now is, instead of just doing the first kriecha white and the last kriecha white and everything else in between blue, I do the first kriecha three times white, because according to Taisus, you have to have kriechas of love and also, not just to start off. So I do the first kriecha, I should do three times white, and the very end of the last chulia, which has seven, each, there are seven chulis, and each chuli has seven krichas. Instead of just doing six blue and one white, so I'll do four blue and three white. So I'll do the three to satisfy Shitas HaTaisus as well. Okay. But the Gemara says that that's not Miyaka B'Di'evit yet. You don't even have to try to tie it over again. That's the Pashtus. The Magen Avraham is the standard commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch recommends that one should be machrid the tzitzios. If the strings are entangled together, you should try to separate the strings from each other. That's what the Prima Gadim quotes. One of the Achrayimah says that the word tzitzis is a Rosh Tevis, tzadik yafrid tzitzios of tomei. Tzadik yud, tzadik tov. A tzadik should separate the strings from each other. So what is that all about? Why should you be machrid the tzitzios of the Magen Avraham? And that's if in the Shulchan Aruch, when they recommend you should be machrid the chutim, Hashem love Shabbos, are you allowed to separate on Shabbos? Maybe it's a violation of a malachim. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Beis Yosef, who quotes the Baal HaItur, who interprets the Gemara, that you should be mafrid. The ikedin of being mafrid is when you have tchelis and lovam. So when you come to the end, you should have all the tchelis on one side and all the lovam on the other side. Bizman Azeh, we don't have tchelis, he writes the Baal HaItur, we don't have tchelis and lovam, but as a zecher to the times that they used to have tchelis, you should have some of the chutim on one side, some of the chup on the other side. Yet now, if tchelis is available, so those who use the tchelis, you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. The Baal HaItur, quoted by the Beis Yosef, who's quoted by the Magen Avraham, recommends you should have all the chutei lovan on one side, all the chutei tchelis on the other side. So the whole time that you're tying it, it does make a difference, I think. But the last time that you tie, so then you should make sure you have all the lovan on one side, all the tchelis on the other side. If you're going to have four chutim of tchelis, okay. If you're going to have one chut of tchelis, going to the Rambam, so you should have six strings on one side and one string of the tchelis on the other side. If you're going to have, according to the rabbi, you're going to have two tchelis, you're going to have six lovin at the end of the day, so you have the two on one side. We are so used to dividing four and four, but the Shulchan Aruch recommends you should keep four and four separate all along, in order that if you're going to have gardumi, you know where you're holding, whether three strings are two, whether two strings are bishleimus or not. But when it comes to the last, the kesher, the final kesher on the bottom, so then we have everything to gain and nothing to lose. I don't think the other Rishonim would disagree with the Baal HaItur. There's nothing wrong if you tie one against six or you tie two against four. So the way I do, I have four and four. So when it comes to the final kesher, you should have all the blue on one side and all the white on the other side. I think it's quite an interesting generation that we're living in. Min HaShemayim, the synced with that, we are preparing for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what motivated the Radzina Rebbe to go to Italy to try to figure out what the Chalozin is, what are you going to use with Tchelis or the Big Dekuna. We're living in a generation that the Rebbe Shalom is synced with, that they're preparing in advance. Okay, maybe someone would like to bring up some issues.
As for students of the Rav, I heard it in Boston, but you also put it in the. It's also in the one of the Yahrzeit.
The Yahrzeit Rosh.
So how do students of the Rav, we say that had the Rav seen this Chelis, he would have accepted it, or how do a Talmid of the Rav reconcile himself to what the Rav said versus the new Chelis that's out there?
Right. So the Radzina Rebbe came up.
Because from the perspective of the Beis Halevi, it seems that there would be no difference between the Radzina Chelis and the New York Strunkulus Chelis.
Right. So when the Radzina Rebbe came up with his Chelis, so different Rabbanim sent reactions. So he got a letter from a close Talmid Chacham. He doesn't identify who it is. A Talmid Chacham who is close with the Beis HaLevi, explaining why the Beis HaLevi is opposed to the Tchelis. So the way it's printed in the Sefer of the Radzina Rebbe, there's one version, and the Soloveitchik family in Eretz Yisrael and America, they have a different version. So the Soloveitchik family has a version that the Beis HaLevi said, you have to have a masor, you have to have a tradition as to what the Chalazin is. If you don't have a tradition, even if you can reconstruct based on archaeology, whatever historical proofs, letters, whatever documentation, whatever evidence they have to show that this is the Tchelis, even if you're right, you're not right, because we don't have a Masur. So remember, when Rav Soloveitchik said this in Moriah, in the yeshiva, the students used to sit there, we didn't ask any kashas. Moriah, the Baal HaBatim used to ask kashas. So when he said this in Moriah, so they asked, but what about the Gemara in Moiches HaSvina? The Gemara tells the story about Rabbi Bar Bachana went on a tour in the Midbar, and the Arab showed him Mesa Midbar. So there's a machlokes b'sham and b'sil. How many strings do you have in the tzitzis? Whether you have three strings that you fold over to make six, and we don't pass them like that. We pass them like b'sham. You have four strings, you fold it over to make eight. So they asked Rabbi Baba Chana, did you look at the strings of the tzitzis? So he said, no, it didn't occur to me. So he said, idiot, moron, Rabbi Baba Chana, you're an idiot. Why don't you look at the tzitzis to be poshut the machlokes? So you see from the Gemara that you can't pass in on a machlokes based on historical evidence. Rabbi Soloveitchik gave some kind of a teretz. What was his teretz? That Hahu Taya, the Gemara says, Rabbi Baba Chana's tour guide was Hahu Taya. Usually Hahu Taya is an Arab, we usually say. So he said, the Zohar has the expression, I'm not familiar at all, said the Zohar has the expression, Hahu Taya means Eliyahu Hanavi. So Eliyahu Hanavi was Masar. I don't know what that means. Then they asked him also, the Beis Yosef quotes that they found the Keri Yecheskel Hanavi, they found tefillin like the Rabbeinu Tam, with the Seder HaParshas like the Rabbeinu Tam. So they wanted to be poshut that tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam is the correct way it's supposed to be. And the others responded, no, maybe they were puzzled, maybe that's why they put them in a kever, because they put it in shame as if it's puzzled. So there's a debate whether it's evidence or not evidence. You see that you can't pass them based on archaeological evidence for the machlokes satanoim, where the Kodesh Lashem and the Tzitz was on one line, or Kodesh La and Yud Kei Vav Kei is on higher and a higher two lines. So one Tana says, Ani Hayisi Birami, I was there, and they showed me the base agnozim of the melech, and I saw the tzitz, it was all on one line. So don't you see from the Tana that his paskin is based on archaeological evidence? Well, the Raman paskin is not so. The Raman paskin said it's two lines. So the Kesef Mishnah says, how can he paskin against archaeological evidence? The Tana saw the tzitz in the base agnozim in Rome. So you see the Pharisee that's on one line. So the Kesef Mishnah answers just like the answer on the tefillin and the Kevi Cheskel HaNavi, it's not a good evidence. Every Kohen Gadol had a different shape forehead. Try the way you put the tzitz, put it on the forehead, put it over here, the Makam Seir, 2 days in Tosis. So every Kohen Gadol had a different size head. So each Kohen Gadol had to have a different tzitz. So there must have been a few hundred tzitz. So just because they saw one tzitz that was in one line doesn't necessarily mean that that's Talah. Maybe it's really supposed to be, maybe the robe of the tzitz and were made the way the Rambam says. But don't you see, so the Balabatim is, but don't you see from all these sources that that archaeological evidence is good? I don't know, he kept on farenfing everything. The Radzina Rebbe, who printed this letter, he doesn't identify who this person is, the one who is close to the Beis HaLevi. He has a totally different argument that he quotes in the name of the Beis HaLevi. His argument was, the Rebbe, I think, thought that it was the squid fish. Something like a squid fish is the chalazim. So they asked, so the Beis HaLevi said, our parents and our grandparents knew about the squid fish, that it spits off black stuff. So why didn't they use, the squid fish was not a secret, so why didn't they use the trelas from the squid fish? So it's as if we have a masor that it's incorrect. It was available, they knew all about the squid, and they never used it for trelas. So it's as if we have a masor that it's incorrect. So it's a totally different version. And the Beis HaLevi in that letter, the friend of the Beis HaLevi writes, if you come up with a new fish, and you'll explain why it disappeared, and it's a fish that our parents, our grandparents were not aware of, and you give an explanation why they weren't using this trelas, he says, I'll be the first one to jump on the bandwagon. I'll join with you and use your trelas. So it's a totally different version of what the Beis HaLevi said. Rabbi Feivel Cohen, the one who wrote the Bari HaShulchan, was a rav in Flatbush for many years. Then he's very into Pesach Halacha, so he told the Balabatim he's resigning from his position. He wants to go to Eretz Yisrael to get Shemesh by Rabbi Yashiv. So they're very upset. But they told him he shouldn't resign from the shul. He should take a year's leave of absence and should come back and continue to be the rav in the shul. So he became very close. He spent the year being Mishamish Rabbi Yashiv. He came back after the year, so because they knew each other well, so he continued to correspond with him. So one of the letters that he sent him, Rabbi Yashiv gave him permission to print the letter, he asked him, what does he say about these two versions of what the Beis HaLevi said? Does he think it makes more sense the way the Soloveitchik family says that if you don't have a tradition, so it's not correct? That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik said about Oriz also. We only say there's Oriz v'doichen. So the Tosfos says you only say Bari Meni Mizaynus and Bari Nefashos on Oriz. You don't, not on Doichen. Doichen is Bari Pri Hadamah. So Tosfos has 2 days, which is Oriz and which is Doichen. So is the Oriz rice or is the Doichen rice? So everybody, the common practices, everybody says Bari Meni Mizaynus on rice, and then say Bari Nefashos at the end. So the Soloveitchik family, they say, no, Even though you look, I live in Washington Heights. You ask any Puerto Rican in the neighborhood, they say, arroz. Arroz is rice. You ask any Arab and I tell, arroz is rice. Everybody knows in all the dictionaries, arroz is rice. No. Rav Soloveitchik said, we don't pass kashrus based on the lexicon. That was his lashon. What we call the dictionary, he called the lexicon. We don't pass kashrus based on what the Puerto Ricans tell you, based on what the Arabs tell you. It's a sveke redina. Since we don't have a masar, it's a sveke redina. We don't know whether you say bari min and mizayin, it's on the rice or on the other one. So everybody says on the rice. Everybody says like that. So this was their tradition. So this, Rabbi Feivel Cohen asked Rabbi Yashiv, corresponded with me, said, which version do you think makes more sense? He said, he doesn't think the family's version makes any sense. You have to have a Masar Yish Mipiyisha Moshe Abenu to identify what is Chalazin and what is Oriz and what is this and what is that. If you can figure it out based on history, based on archaeology, based on whatever, scientific evidence, okay? So let it be like that. Let it be like that. So then he asked them, so okay, so what do you say about the new Chalas? So he said, that's a good question, he never answered. Okay, he didn't want to get in line. So I don't know, I think, I can't say what Rabbi Soloveitchik would say, but I think, to me, it makes more sense what Rabbi Yashiv said on this one issue than what Rabbi Soloveitchik. What do you mean? You have to have a masur. We don't believe in archaeological evidence, we don't believe in historical evidence, we don't believe in proving something based on a dictionary. I thought Rabbi Yashiv's argument was correct, that the other version of what the Beis HaLevi said makes more sense.